Hebrews chapter number 6 is our starting place this morning. Hebrews chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous." We could run on that all day long. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Lord, bless your word to our hearts this morning. I pray you give me the strength of body and clarity of mind and a right heart and a right spirit to deliver the truth to the people that made the effort to come today. May we all receive these words as they are in truth, the living words of the living God written for us in the Holy Bible. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a true joy and a great honor to minister to a congregation of people who are not only sound in their intellectual doctrine and who are not only correct in their system of beliefs, but who are an embodiment of these verses of Scripture. People who work for the Lord, labor for the Lord, are diligent for the cause of Christ. What a blessing to have a building that is the hub of activity, not for an hour on a Sunday morning, but every day of the week and most days of the year, to have a calendar full of outreach ministries with men and women and boys and girls filling one role after another. It's a joy. It's a real, true joy. And so this morning, I really don't have to preach a sermon on you need to be busy, because most of you are, thank the Lord, quite busy. What I do need to deliver a sermon on today, and it's not our times that require it, it's Bible times that required it, it's been every time that required it. The struggle with the Hebrew believers 2,000 years ago was that they were laboring for God and working for God and serving God, and it just seemed like the world went on like it had always been. It just seemed like wickedness and unrighteousness and unholy living continued to carry the day, and that the work of God's people on behalf of their God seemed to have so little effect and so little impact upon their culture and their society. And so the admonition that was written 2,000 years ago was to keep going, because God, not the government, God, not the neighborhood, God, not the society, is very mindful of your work and of your labor and has promised that he will bestow a reward upon those who serve him. And let me, just by way of introduction, If you're a young Christian and a young believer who just got saved because someone told you about Jesus, we understand your expectation that when you tell your friends, they're going to respond as you did. And when you witness to others, they're going to embrace the gospel like you embraced the gospel. And we want you to enjoy that season of great optimism. And I don't mean to discourage a single soul in here today, but the track record of biblical Christianity is that narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The illustration given by Jesus Christ of the sower who went out to sow gave those who were faithfully laboring for him a promised 75% failure rate on the seed which they sowed. The Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, working signs, wonders, and miracles, and never sinning, And never man spake like this man. In 3.5 years, collected 500 brethren, of which 120 showed up for fellowship. That's not knocking them dead. And we would like to change the world for Jesus Christ, but the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will change the world when He returns. What we want to do is remain faithful to the Lord until we stand before Him. I have said this from pulpits, and I've said this in print, and I'll say it again this morning. The Christian that doesn't labor, the Christian that used to labor, the Christian that's unwilling to devote their life to the service of God looks at a seeming lack of results and says, what good does it do to serve the Lord? The reply to that question is, the good has already been done. That's why we serve the Lord. I'm not serving God so something good will come of it. I'm serving the Lord because of all the great good He's done for me in my life. And I owe Him that. I owe Him that. Now the Bible says in verse number 10, God is not unrighteous. And I just want to establish this with you. Ezra 9:15 says, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous. Psalm 7 verse 9, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Psalm 116 verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Psalm 19:9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I do my very best in the pulpit, and I try my best out of the pulpit, to not be overly concerned with matters of government, because you don't need to prove to me that they're not righteous. It doesn't surprise me if you say the president or the Congress or the Senate or the local representatives did something that was unrighteous. I don't need any proof for that. So why dwell upon it? If you want to tell me that you know people who go to church who aren't righteous and you know people who profess to be Christians who aren't righteous, I don't need to hear that. I was convinced of that a long time ago. I don't need any additional information to prove to me that men are unrighteous. So I would be very discouraged this morning if I expected something from our government and they hadn't delivered. I'd be very discouraged this morning if I expected something from the professing Christians and they hadn't delivered. But I was encouraged today about living the Christian life as I was when I began this Christian life way back in 1976, because God has been absolutely righteous. And God continues to be absolutely righteous, and He will always be absolutely righteous. And so I don't put my joy at risk by hoping for righteousness where it can't be found. I keep my joy intact by hoping for righteousness where it is always found, in God and in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now the verse goes on to say, verse number 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And this is the important, not twist, because we're not twisting the verse. This is the importance of reading God's Word as it's written, not as we desire it to be. The reason I would be inclined to forget your birthday is it's not happening immediately. The reason I would be inclined to forget a payment that is due is because it's not due today. It's due some months down the road. The idea that we're being told that God won't forget our work, that God won't forget our labor, tells me that the reward is not instantaneous, that the payment is not immediate. That I am not to go out Saturday morning and knock on doors and expect God's reward Saturday afternoon. that I'm not to labor in the ministry of the gospel the first week in October and expect the second week in October for God to reward me for that labor. There is a passing of time involved in the bestowing of reward. That is, we're called upon to keep that in mind. Blessings every day. The Bible says God daily loadeth us with benefits. But for you to say, I've given out all these tracts and nothing's come of it. I've witnessed all these people and nothing's come of it. I've invited all these people to church and I don't seem to be getting any reward for it. I've given this money toward a mission program and I'm not feeling the incoming reward. God says in His Word, He remembers. He's not forgotten. Which tells me that the reward for labor and service is not immediate, but is postponed. When Jesus talked about rewards, that he gave in one parable, he gave men pounds, some 10, some 5, some 1, some of us 30 or 40, but a different kind of pounds. God gives people opportunities to serve. And then he talks about the reward for that service when he returns. Not at the end of the day, but at the end of the age. And so I want to start by encouraging you from this passage to work and to labor and to do so not for immediate reward, but to do so with a certainty that there will be reward. Praise God. Now that makes it better, right? God, I did all this for you, and what do I get for it? You're asking for payment before payday. You're asking for the blessing before the time of blessing. Now let me just get off track just for a moment. The reason God can't reward you immediately for your work, many, many people will be saved today in churches around the world through reading and hearing the words that Paul wrote. God cannot have rewarded Paul yet because the result of his labor isn't completed. I've listened this week and got a blessing this week from listening to sermons of men long dead and long in heaven. And yet, through the miracle of our modern technology, their voice still speaks. And they still have an impact upon the lives of Christians, even though they've been dead for many years. So you say, preacher, I've served God and I don't see my reward. If you saw your reward today, that would mean that's the end of the accumulation of your reward. There are men today laboring in mission fields and seeing many, many souls won to Jesus Christ. They're the third or fourth generation of men, of families, who have plowed those fields and sown the seed of God's Word in those regions. Somebody went there first. Somebody opened that door. Somebody began that work. Why weren't they rewarded in their lifetime? Why have they not yet been rewarded? Because the fruit of their labors is not all gathered. So you don't want your reward for your labor now, because that would cut off the interest payments on those deposits. You want to wait until the day when God rewards and God gives out the blessings, the full blessings on those who have served Him. Now, back to our text. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and then allow God to define what He's really interested in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And it's easy to preach this morning because here you are in church. But the reward here specifically spoken of is not ministering the gospel to lost people. It's not carrying the good news to the world. It's ministering God's grace and love and mercy and truth to the saints to save people. And there are many. It's increasing. This internet age is just luring more and more people into isolation. It's luring more and more people into a world that doesn't exist, where their friends are online and their ministries are online and their fellowship is online. It's all so impersonal and so non-biblical. God said, I'm going to reward you for your labor toward the saints, for the work that you bestow upon the saints. And maybe, I haven't lived in every age, so I don't know. I haven't lived in every generation, so I don't know. But I know in my Christian lifetime, people have become, in the world, so selfish. And if they do get saved, they bring that selfishness into the church. What's in it for me? What if nothing's in it for you? What do I get out of the service? What if you don't get anything out of the service? How can I labor for a body of believers? How can I work for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, I did this for my church, and I did that for the people in my church, and I didn't get anything in return. That's not a work of faith. If you got immediate return, it wouldn't be a work of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's great to get in a van and go give out gospel tracts. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about bearing burdens, fellowship, mutual love and care. If this morning we were to present to God for payment, my father, I've told this story many times, we were never allowed to ask for money. He never gave us money. We were raised to not ride the welfare train. We were raised to earn our way. And we had a list, all of us children, there was a list of chores that were to be done in and out of the house, around the property, and the amount that those chores would pay if you did this chore. If you wanted to go with your friends and do something fun on a weekend, it cost $10. You brought the book to Dad, and he confirmed, or to Mom, they confirmed that you had earned the $10, and they rewarded you. They paid you for that $10. Praise the Lord. My point is this. If God was going to reward you for what you had done this week, this month, for others in your church, instead of saying, where's my reward, God might say, where's what you've done to earn a reward? Maybe we should just keep track of, not for boasting, but for consideration. What have I done for others? What have I given to others? What degree of my time have I spent for others? Not that I get anything out of it. But, I mean, isn't that the idea of serving? It's not, well, what did I get? Where's my reward? No, I'm not looking for reward. I'm looking to be a blessing. And the Bible says God's not unrighteous to forget that. And then he says in verse number 11, we desire that the 10% of you who are sold out do show the same diligence to the... No, it's every one of you. Every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That every one of you be not slothful. That every one of you be a follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So, in our Bible, and we're heading toward the message here. This is all just, preliminary, setting thing up. In our Bible, we read about a man with a withered hand. It's odd he's not called the man with two good feet. It's odd he's not called the man with good lungs and his great eyesight, 20/20 vision, and perfect hearing. Because that withered hand affected everything he tried to do or wanted to do. This morning on our prayer list are people who only have one thing wrong with them. But it's enough to really hinder everything in their life. And God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that not a one of us who is saved can say, I don't need to labor. I don't need to work. I don't need to serve others. You don't want to be the withered hand. The body doesn't need for you to be the withered hand. Brother Gary was talking during the Sunday school hour about losing one of his eyes. That's not that big a deal. You want to give up one of yours? It affects every aspect of his life. I'm not that important to the church. If I don't do it, somebody else will. You mean if I don't function as the left eye, as long as the right eye is working, it doesn't matter? But it does matter. And so the desire of the Holy Spirit is that every one of us labor and work for other saints without demand or expectation of reward. Well, I would serve people, but I don't get anything out of it. They don't treat me any better than they did before. That's not why we do it. It's not why we do it. I haven't thanked my liver. I can't remember the last time I thanked my liver for doing its job, but I'm glad it's doing its job. In fact, I'll only pay attention to it if it quits doing its job. Right? Most of you are young enough that you never say, what was that? And you don't get up in the morning and say, thank you, heart, for beating regularly. But if something begins to go wrong with the old ticker, that's a problem. You understand what we're saying? We're supposed to serve one another not to be thanked or get a prize or have someone say what a great servant we are. We're supposed to do it because God asks us to do it and everyone else needs us to do it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And the more self-centered a saved person is, the more unhappy they're going to be with their Christian life. And the more they can devote themselves to serving others, the more happy they're going to be, the more they can enjoy their Christian life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, one more word of introduction, and then we'll get to the message. Short sermon today. Just takes a while to get there. If you should ever become or encounter one of those people who thinks they are the last real true Christian on earth, nobody does it right except me. Nobody serves God like I serve God. Everybody else is doing it wrong. You have encountered someone who is not blessed in their own life and is certainly not a blessing to anyone else. God is righteous. That's what he said. That's what for God is not unrighteous to forget your... Okay? God is righteous, which means self-righteous is the very opposite of God. And it's an amazing thing how self-righteous people convince themselves that God is so pleased with them, and they're just stinking up the place. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Who's you talking about? Well, just as long as it's not you. You don't need to worry about who it might be. You just need to make sure it's not you. I need to make sure it's not me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's read the verse again. Ready for the sermon? Here we go. God is not unrighteous to forget your work of faith and labor of love. Come to James chapter number 5. Have you served God? Do you serve God? James chapter number 5. People say, after all these years of serving God, why did he let this happen to me? After all this energy I've expended and all this money I've given, I thought maybe I'd be in a better situation, a better circumstance. Let's see if we can get those thoughts straight in our mind today. James chapter 5, verse number 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Now let's think about this for a minute. God is not unrighteous. We read four verses that declare God is righteous. God said, if a man worked for another man and then did not adequately, fully compensate that man for his work, his future was slaughter. So, wait a minute, that's pretty serious. Okay, you ever worked for somebody that didn't pay you? Were you happy about that? Absolutely not. Did you ever do a job that was agreed upon and the compensation that was agreed upon didn't come through? Why are you unhappy about that? Because, what do you say? It's not right. God put a decree in Old Testament and New Testament. If somebody works for you and you don't pay them, they will suffer judgment at the hands of God. Now, how could God write that? How could God carry out that sentence and then not live by those precepts himself? If it's unrighteous to not compensate someone for their labor, then you can count on it. A righteous God will compensate you for your labor. He will give you full payment, full reward for everything you've done. He will not forget it. Have you ever, gotten a second notice? Sometimes it wasn't deliberate. Sometimes you just forgot. Have you ever got a final notice? Sometimes it was because your desperate prayers weren't answered, but other times it's because you forgot to open the mail, you've signed up for online billing and you haven't looked at your email in months. It was just a failure on your part to remember that bill was due. God, praise the Lord, never forgets. He never overlooks an invoice. He never lets a due date slip. God remembers all of your service, all of your labor, and if it would be a sin to not compensate the worker and the laborer for the work they've done, you can count on it. God doesn't sin. He's righteous. So full payment is coming. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's a principle here about God's judgment. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24. Hope this will be encouragement to you this morning. 1 Timothy 5, 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. It is a scandal when someone famous has their dirty laundry hung out on the line for all to see. Do you suppose that all the dirty laundry has been hung on all the clotheslines? Or do you suppose there's some men who've done some really filthy, nasty, dirty stuff and it just hasn't been found out? It just hasn't come to light. The reason us common folks sometimes are tempted to envy the rich and the powerful is what would send you to prison sends them to Congress. Right? And you say, how can these people get away with this stuff? You're wrong. They haven't gotten away with anything. The Lord says some people get found out ahead of time. Some people don't get found out until the day of judgment. But God has a very long memory and nothing slips past him. Amen. Oh, we said, oh, yeah, yeah, good, good. Wait, that's not our topic for this morning. Because I bet some of us have some secrets. Verse 25, likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now, when he says likewise, what he's saying is, now match up what happens to people do good with what happens to people that do wickedness. We agree some people get caught and everybody finds out about it and they pay now, but some people, praise God, he knows and they're going to pay for it later. Okay, but just set that aside for a minute. Some people are giving their heart, soul, strength, and mind to the service of the Lord, and you look and say, wow, it really pays to serve Jesus. Look at all the blessings in their life. But other people are working just as hard and just as faithfully, and you couldn't tell it because their life is one problem and one trouble and one heartache after another. You know what the Lord says? I know, and I'll pay my workers in full, in time. So think with me for a minute. The Bible's not written to Americans. Is that correct? The Bible's written to the whole world. Everybody in the world, God wrote the Bible for everybody in the world. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I live in a home that's paid for. Praise God. And I drive a vehicle that's paid for, praise God. And I'm right now I'm out of debt, praise God. I've got several pairs of shoes, praise God. I've got several suits of clothing, praise God. I have plenty to eat, more than I need, praise God. But I don't know if that's from serving the Lord or because I live in America. Right? I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't saved and they got way more than I've got and they should thank God for it. I thank God for everything I have, but I couldn't tell you this morning, these things are God's reward to me for serving Him when some of my neighbors have more than I do and they're not even saved. And there are, if you got on an airplane today and went to what the world calls a third world country, there would be people there that are serving the Lord with more fervor than I am and more dedicated to God than I am, and they live in squalor and they eat a bowl of rice every day and they've got one suit of clothing to wear. Does that mean God's punishing them or God hasn't blessed them? Or does it mean they're born in a place where you just can't get ahead? So when you say, well, I've served God and I don't see anything come of it, or he hasn't served God and look at all those blessings, that might just be economics. That might just be where somebody was born. It might just be where, unless you cross somebody's line, if you work hard and stay out of trouble, you can really make something of yourself in this nation. So I don't want to get up in the morning and look at my stuff and think that's my reward. Because it might just be what I got from having parents that sent me to school and being taught to work and staying diligent at a job and marrying a wife that didn't squander all my money. Which are blessings, but they're not rewards. Here's what God said. Your reward will be equal to your work and your labor, and it will be settled not before you see me, but when you see me. Now, why is that important? These Hebrews were getting discouraged because they were serving God and it didn't seem like anything was coming of it. And the Lord said to them, something is coming of it. Payday. This is not payday. This is work day. There is payday. Don't quit working before payday. Amen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 3. Two more stops this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have the right view about Jesus and the right understanding of Scripture, you will be looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And here's what we have here. Verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. There's work, there's service. Apollos watered, there's work, there's service. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So everybody working together. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Some of you need to mark that in your Bibles. Because you're discouraged. I used to give out tracts, now I don't. Why not? I didn't see anything come of it. I used to invite people to come to church, now I don't. Why? I didn't see people come. I used to preach the gospel, now I don't. Why? I didn't see people get saved. Look what he said. Every man shall receive his own reward according to, not more, not less, according to his own labor. That's God's righteous promise. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation no man laid, and that is laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. Now watch. Now if any man build upon this foundation, any man, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. Not this day. That day, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine if your works were good enough for you to be saved. You're saved or you wouldn't be there. But when you're saved, if you're saved, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it is then, come on, get it, it is then that God rewards your work of faith. It is then that God rewards your labor of love. So you can't possibly say, I served God and it didn't amount to anything. I served the saints and nothing came of it. That's not true. That's not true. It was gold. It was silver. It was precious stones deposited in your account, stored, kept, reserved until the day when God, when you and Jesus Christ meet together and he determines your reward for your service.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we don't stop when we don't quote unquote see anything come of it. When you see something come of it is when you are here with him face to face in glory. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you say, Lord, I worked all those years for you and it didn't amount to much. And I served you, it didn't amount to much. And the Lord says, yes, but with interest. But with interest, look what you've accumulated. You say, why would that matter? I don't know. Here's what I'm going to tell you. And I'm not boasting, because I'm just telling you. My wife and I spoke this week, and we said, you know how much easier our lives are because we don't have mountains of debt crushing down upon us. You know what a blessing it is to not, I don't know what it was, we were in the car, we heard an ad that if you sign up for a certain program, you can get your paycheck direct deposited and have access to your money 2 days ahead of payday so you can pay your bills. And we just said, thank God we've never had to get our pay 2 days early to keep from losing everything. That's a great blessing. But I'm going to tell you something. When my father was getting me up at the break of dawn to mow the lawn, I didn't get it. So I'm just telling you, I didn't know that that would reap such great rewards 60 years later. It didn't make any sense. My father knew how much better off I would be with that reward. It made no sense to me at all. So here's what I'm telling you this morning. Your father said, work, labor, serve, and I will reward you. And you're going to say, Pastor, what does that mean? I don't know. Pastor, why? I mean, wouldn't it be good enough to just be in heaven? Apparently not. I'm telling you, trust your heavenly Father. If He says, do this and get a reward later, you'll be glad you did. You don't have to understand. You don't have to get it. Just do it. Just do it. Praise the Lord. One more verse. Isaiah 55. We were here last Sunday morning under a different heading. But I want to go back to these verses, because they're really important. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. Isaiah 55, 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. No kidding. You imagine if God had the thought problems that all of us have. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now watch this carefully. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud. Remember that? That it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. Now I'm going to read this like Christians read it and end up discouraged. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto you void. Well, Lord, I did all this work and I didn't get anything for it. That wasn't the promise. Look, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I praised, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, you know, I gave out all these gospel tracts and nothing came of it. You mean nothing came to you? I knocked on all these doors and nothing came of it. No, you mean nothing came to you? I witnessed all these people and I didn't see any good result from it. You mean nothing came to you? God said, I didn't give this gospel so you could get glory. I gave this gospel to the world so I could get glory. Souls that are saved are won to Jesus Christ, not you. Lives that are changed to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, not for our congregation. So if you work for God and you don't, quote unquote, see anything come of it, you weren't intended to. God was. Amen. He said it won't return unto me void. This is a fact. I'm telling you this is a fact. I preach for men and no men all over America who study the Bible as I study it, and pray before their messages like I pray before their messages, and preach with all their heart like I try to preach with all my heart. And here we are trying to find room for people to sit. And after 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, some of them got 15 people, 20 people in a little building that they can't even keep clean because they don't have any workers. Are you telling me that I'm going to get a reward for results? And men who've done everything I've done with the same fervor and the same devotion and the same heart get no reward because of lack of results? That would be unrighteous. God's not unrighteous. He doesn't reward results. He rewards labor. Because the results don't go to us, they go to Him. So He couldn't reward us for results. They're not our results anyway.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we don't give up. We don't give out. I'll tell you a story. I remember this so well. I was in a meeting of a bunch of pastors and different men preaching, and a man got up and preached a sermon, and he had been in a town of 3,000 people pastoring a little church since he graduated from Bible school. He'd been there for decades. And the most that had ever been on membership in that church were 30. And there he was every week. There he was every Sunday. And he preached that meeting, and after he finished, a young man about 20 years old came to the front and he stood weeping. And he said, "This is my pastor. And I have surrendered my life to the Lord to stay in this church until this man can't continue, and then to carry on this work as long as God will let me." And I thought, if you're in this thing for rewards, you don't wait for a chance to pastor a church in a town of 3,000 with 15 people there. But if in your heart you want to minister to the saints for God's honor and God's glory, you're telling me that kid's not going to get a reward as big or bigger than any I could ever hope to have? How could that be? Because God's righteous. God is righteous. So if what the Lord has for you is a nursing home ministry, that's great. If what God has for you is one street corner every week, that's great. If what God has for you is one little mission station in one little forgotten part of the world, that's great. Forget this idea of, if I don't get paid tomorrow, I'm going to walk off the job. Adopt this idea. I am going to be fully rewarded by a God who does not forget what I do for Him, and I'm going to do for Him what I can do for Him all the way to glory.
Amen.
And then we'll find out.
Amen.
Then we'll find out. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You. God, You could demand our service and give us nothing, and it would be acceptable. But to think that You not only save our souls, but You allow us to work for You, and then that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, should give rewards to little specks of dust for doing some work in Your name. God, You're so good to us. Thank You so very much. Please, God, may we take heart and courage from this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.